as now former Chicago Bears players have joined their new teams this offseason. You can hear a little bit of excitement or relief in being out of the Bears organization, or more specifically, I think, away from the previous Bears regime and embraced by a new organization.
You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. You can follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Bears. You can like Locked On Bears on Facebook. Join the Locked On Bears Facebook group for even more Bears talk. And make sure you hit that subscribe button on the Locked On Bears YouTube channel to keep up with all of our video podcasts as well. Thanks for making Locked On Bears your first listen today. On the show today, we'll hear from a few former Bears at their new places and a surprising amount of excitement, energy, and happiness from them compared to how we saw them sort of finish their time in Chicago. This sort of new opportunity, this breath of fresh air for a lot of them seems to be particularly refreshing, and we'll kind of check in on what their new opportunities look like and how that compares to what they had in Chicago and now what Chicago has without them. I think the most striking of these changes, these dynamics, these, you know, second chances, or I guess not necessarily second chances, but just, you know, new opportunities, is for Allen Robinson going to the Los Angeles Rams. He didn't leave Chicago on the best, I don't know, best terms. It seems a little harsh, right? I mean, he had one of his worst seasons production-wise. A lot of fans not thrilled with exactly how and you know how and why he went about his business, and maybe a little bit of how he carried himself on the field. Some accusations of maybe, you know, not giving 100% complete effort when you would wanted him to in some of those stretches, but he also maybe wasn't fully healthy, right? There was a lot of sort of questions about how things played out at the end there for Allen Robinson. But it was clear, like, he just had a press conference, I think last week or the week before, in Los Angeles, talking about, like, his new role and the new offense. And it's most striking visually if you see the video here on the Locked On Bears YouTube channel. But I think, you know, just the regular podcast listeners will also be able to hear it somewhat in his voice. But the smile that goes on his face when asked about the differences here between the Rams offense and the Bears offense, he gives a very diplomatic answer, but visually especially, you can really see him gleaming, beaming, any of the above, about being in the McVay system instead of the Matt Nagy system.
And what differences stand out to you between the Bears and the Rams, just in, you know, experiencing it? And what differences in what you can do do you think the different offense will give you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, once you move in teams, obviously it's going to be a lot of difference. But, you know, for me, as a player, I think I'm able to bring, you know, a lot of versatility. You know, so again, being able to run the entire route tree, you know, being able to, you know, also block in the run game, being able to do many different things, you know. I'm across the board. That's play outside, play inside, you know, vertical cuts, intermediate cuts, short cuts, you know, being able to work the whole route tree. And again, being able to be involved in every single element of the offense.
And just to quickly follow up on that, does the Rams offense give you more of a chance to use all of the elements of your game?
You know, again, Coach McVay and the offense that he's put together and the offense that these guys run, you know, again, it's been a top offense in the league for a reason, you know. So, again, I truly believe that, you know, by the end of, you know, that it'll bring the best out of me, you know, and I'll be able to display all the elements of my game.
There are not many press conferences like that in Chicago where Allen Robinson smiled that much. And not that he owes anybody a smile or should be expected to be particularly smiley. No, it's not. I mean, he just seemed like a guy who was, you know, kind of little just more serious and business, you know, all about business and getting his job done, and was always cordial with answering questions and stuff. Wasn't going to be short or mean about it, but just was, you know, sort of serious and taking it seriously and all that. But like, he's cracking big smiles talking about, you know, the Rams offense and being able to do all those different things. And yeah, I can't help but read between the lines a little bit there. And I don't want to put words in his mouth and make up things that aren't actually there, because he didn't say anything specifically about the Bears there. But when he talks about, you know, running the full route tree and being able to be used in a variety of ways, you can think back to Chicago and sometimes how often he was being asked to just run curl routes or be a vertical sort of distraction receiver. We've always known that he can do it all. And the Bears at times would ask him to do a variety of different things. He was not like entirely shoehorned into one basic role, but I do think perhaps in the Matt Nagy offense, they didn't utilize enough of that versatility, enough of his skill set that he really can do a little bit of everything. And the Bears let him do a lot of things, but perhaps could have let him do more. And of course, then could have just used fewer curl routes and just been a more creative, overall effective, schematically offense that just was never really part of the situation here. And clearly a lot different in Los Angeles. And especially if he sort of takes over that ISO wide receiver role that Odell Beckham had in that offense, depending on how the rest of their offseason goes, you could see potentially a lot of production coming for Allen Robinson and a lot of reason for him to have a big smile on his face. I'm certainly rooting for Allen Robinson to have a productive season, a productive remainder of his career, and have all the success in the world. And I'm excited to see what it's going to look like for him in Los Angeles, especially, I think, in contrast to what the Chicago Bears have without him right now in Chicago. But we've talked plenty about the wide receiver position post Allen Robinson, and it doesn't seem realistic at this point that Allen Robinson was going to come back, or that the Bears were going to really bring Allen Robinson back. It seemed like that just wasn't in the cards, perhaps, for either party when it was all said and done. Robinson, not the only recently departed Bear to really feel the love from his new team, maybe in some contrast to the love he didn't feel from his former team. We'll check in on new Las Vegas Raiders defensive lineman Bilal Nichols next on Locked On Bears. This episode of Locked On Bears is brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. They're a family business that have been serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. They get everything you could possibly need for your vehicle, from complicated stuff like fuel pump assemblies and engine control modules to easy stuff like tail lamps, motor oil, new carpet, whatever you need. RockAuto.com has it, with the deepest catalog you can find anywhere online. Yet somehow it's still super easy to navigate. You just enter in your car's make and model, and it pulls up all the different brands, specifications, and prices for your vehicle. Those prices are particularly important because some chain part stores will have a different price tier, a little bit cheaper for the professional mechanics than it is for us, the do-it-yourselfers. But RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody. So don't spend up to twice as much for the same part somewhere else. Head on over to RockAuto.com today and see all the parts available for your car or truck. When you check out, fill out their box that says, "How did you hear about us?" and write in the words "Locked On" so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. One of the missing parts from this Bears defensive line this offseason, Bilal Nichols, ends up going to the Las Vegas Raiders, leaving this Bears defensive line at a position that seemed to be a big focus for Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles, right? That interior defensive line. You know, they wanted a true three technique, and maybe they didn't perfectly see Bilal Nichols in that role, but still a lot of value there potentially as a nose tackle when you move on from Eddie Goldman, releasing him straight up in the offseason. But no, instead, Nichols' market kind of plays out a little bit and ends up going to the Raiders on a relatively inexpensive deal. They guaranteed most of it, which was nice, but 2 years, $8.6 million, so about a little under $4.5 million a year, but almost $7 million of that, a little over $7 million of that is fully guaranteed. So, you know, a lot of money for sure going to him, but just not a huge average salary as a result. And yet, for whatever reason, you know, the Bears weren't interested, or maybe Blom Nichols wasn't interested in. You know, I mean, we'll never know from the outside here the full dynamics of, you know, that situation. But when you hear Nichols talk about this was from his introduction to the Raiders, but talk about, you know, the process and being attracted to the team and feeling the support of the team behind him, you know, and also the connection to the Bears that brought him to Las Vegas, you can kind of get a sense of where he's feeling a bit more appreciated in that situation than evidently he was either from the previous regime or now certainly from the current regime that doesn't seem to have been as interested.
There's some familiarity for you here in the building with Chad Kelly.
Yeah.
How much did that help kind of lure you here to see what the organization was building?
It definitely played a part. Me and Chant, we have a great relationship. When he came here, I always knew that was going to be a possibility. So he definitely played a huge role in it. And, the Raiders just done believing in me and giving me opportunity. I'm forever grateful for that. Just knowing that you have an organization behind you that's, you know, that believe in you and want to give you an opportunity to go out there and display what you can do to the world. I'm just blessed to have the opportunity.
Having played the Raiders last year, was there any particular player that you saw or played against that you really kind of stuck out to you as being a teammate you really decided to play with?
One thing I do remember about playing the Raiders last year was that going into the game, I don't know, every time you play the Raiders, you know it's going to be a slugfest. That was one thing that was talked about all week. It's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a physical game. It's going to go down to the last minute, and it's going to be a slugfest. So I just remember when we played them last year, it was a situation where it's like everybody was very physical and gritty. And that basically won me over because I tried to play the same exact way. So for me, it was like coming into a philosophy where I try to do the same exact thing.
That clip there, of course, courtesy of the Las Vegas Raiders, and actually it was two separate questions at different parts of the press conference combined together, one leading right and the other, but they weren't in that exact order. Like there was other questions in between. But regardless, so what stood out to me there was his talk about, you know, the Raiders being a slugfest and sort of that physicality of the team. And that being something that Ryan Poles has now made a big emphasis for the Chicago Bears. And Nichols noting that from the other organization, from the Raiders, and saying like, oh, I want to be a part of that. And I just wonder if there's a through line there of like Ryan Poles seeing the Bears previously before him as being not physical enough and not, quote unquote, tough enough, or not showing enough toughness perhaps on the field. And maybe Bilal Nichols sort of being a part of that, but maybe wanting more of that. And of course, then seeing that in the Raiders. So like maybe Nichols seeing that as like, oh, I want to go to the Raiders and be a part of that. And Paul seeing Nichols as being part of sort of the previous aspect of a Bears team that wasn't tough enough. And I would still think that given the price that Nichols ended up going to the Raiders for, it would seem like the Bears just genuinely weren't all that interested and didn't see him as exactly the fit they wanted in this 4-3 defensive line. Although the Raiders are going to do a lot of similar types of, you know, perhaps hybrid type looks with their defensive line, you know, under their, I think Patrick Graham is their defensive coordinator, who's, you know, known for doing a little bit of a lot of different things there to try and kind of mix some things up now in the days after the defense they were running last year was very, very sort of basic and a little bit more troublesome than what they're working with now. It's still a 3-4 for them, but they'll show some even fronts and stuff in the nickel defense as well. So I just wonder, you know, when you look at this Bears defensive line and how big of an emphasis that was and how they really didn't do anything else at nose tackle. You know, they signed Justin Jones to be that true three technique, but otherwise went with Angelo Blackson and Kyrus Tonga, who were both holdovers from the previous regime, to kind of be that nose tackle. You know, is that about them not seeing that wide of a gap between those nose tackles and perhaps Bilal Nichols sliding into that role relative to, you know, in Las Vegas, he can be more of that five technique defensive end, that 3-4 defensive end position that doesn't fully exist in this current Bears defense, that maybe just scheme fit-wise, they didn't see him as quite that guy. Because like Nichols said there, right, He'll play anywhere throughout that press conference. He said he doesn't care if it's nose tackle, if it's defensive end. Like, he'll line up wherever and just wants to win and do what's best for the team and all that. I think he could have found a home in Chicago, but then you start to account for just the salary cap space the team did have. And even though Nichols came back on a relatively affordable deal there at just over $4 million a year, a $4 million cap hit this season, it would have been easier to make room for that. But given how little room they had for things in general, it just didn't seem like that was a very large priority of theirs to have him back on the defensive line, especially when they can replace him with a Justin Jones for what will be this year, at least, a very similar price tag on the salary cap. The cap hit at a very close number, but I'll certainly be keeping kind of an eye on what Justin Jones's production is in this defense compared to what Bilal Nichols' production is in that Raiders defense. And we can look back and say, okay, did the Bears make the right decision there, or should they have kept Bilal Nichols, who, again, sounded very happy to be welcomed and embraced by the Raiders, perhaps in a way that the new regime wasn't welcoming and embracing him in quite the same way. So, I don't blame him, and I wish him all the success and the best of luck in Las Vegas, but we'll kind of see what life is like for both of them after going their separate ways. Not every free agent the Bears let go or moved on from this offseason has been, unappreciative of their time in Chicago. Not that Robinson or Nichols have been either, but one player in particular seemed to have a particularly strong appreciation for the opportunity that he got in Chicago and sort of carrying some of that with him as he moves forward in his career. We'll hear from Jakeem Grant on the Cleveland Browns talking about Devin Hester and filling some of those shoes in Chicago next on Locked On Bears. The Locked On Bears podcast is powered by our friends at Built Bar, the makers of the world's best tasting protein bars, because they don't taste like regular protein bars. Their brownie batter Built Puffs are on their way to me right now, and I can't wait to get another box of those in my hands because they are so rich and chocolatey and delicious and sweet, but somehow, like every Built Bar flavor, low sugar, low calories, high fiber, and high protein. It tastes like you're getting a bite of like fresh brownies and almost like you're licking the spoon after pouring the batter in the pan, but it's 140 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 7 grams of sugar. I mean, it satisfies my sweet tooth and it also helps me feel full. It tastes like a brownie covered marshmallow. It is an unreal product, and I'm telling you, tasting it truly is believing. Head on over to built.com, enter in our promo code LOCKED15, and you're gonna get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Chicago Bears have gone for more of a committee type of replacement plan for Jakeem Grant, the wide receiver slash kick returner that had definitely a breakout season last year for them, not only as that top return man who had the big punt return touchdown against the Green Bay Packers and, a couple of explosive kickoff returns in there, but only the one that went the full 97 yards on that punt return was really exciting. But then, of course, they handed him the ball as a runner, and he broke off a pretty big run in there. And then as a receiver, he caught that screen or that little dump off over the middle, took that, 46 yards or whatever for the touchdown. I mean, he had a couple of big explosive plays. We wondered if he might be back or not. Of course, the regime ended up opting not to bring him back, and the Browns gave him a relatively decent payday, 3 years, $10 million. Not a ton guaranteed in there, but clearly I think some belief in them. But, I think for him, there's a little bit of a contrast here to what we had seen from and heard from, Robinson and Nichols. Not that Robinson or Nichols was particularly anti-Bears there, at least not vocally, but just more like how excited they were to be part of their new organizations, perhaps in contrast to how things went for them at the end there with the Chicago Bears. But Jakeem Grant here in this, and this is, I should say too, this was not a press conference, this was an exclusive interview that the Browns did, so full credit and courtesy to the Browns doing this on their own. You'll see an interviewer in there with him, and you'll hear his voice asking the questions in there a couple of times, but how excited he was to be in Chicago, how fun it was to have those big plays, and really some real homage to Devin Hester there as well. And I think it's a good appreciation, I think, Grant has for what his time was in Chicago and what that meant for him and his career.
I love it. I love it. What's your favorite of all the return touchdowns? You have one that stands out?
I'd probably say The one against Green Bay, because everybody expects like a returner to just let it go, bounce in the end zone, and or fair catch it, and I caught the ball on the three, and I'm like, man, no returners is doing that, you know. Yeah. Besides what Devin Hester.
But I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, you that one 97 yards set the franchise record for the longest punt return touchdown with the Bears, who had Devin Hester, who was likely to be in the Hall of Fame as arguably the greatest returner of all time. So that's pretty cool too.
Absolutely. And then I didn't even know that he did not do that. Like that was the longest one in history.
You said nobody catches it on the three.
And so I'm like, nobody is doing that. So if you could go back and even against the Raiders, the punter punted like 5 yards in the end zone, I brung it out anyways. And I told him, I'm like, I'm not trying to be just an average returner. Like I want to be the one that's remembered. I want to be, you know, the next one to take, you know, Devin Hester's story. Sure. And I have a far mountain to climb. And so, and that's my goal is to, you know, pass him up. And he's a great person to look up to. And so, you know, that's my whole mentality.
So I think you can really hear, you know, just there's a real genuine love of football and what he does from Jakeem Grant, by all means. And I don't play that in contrast to Allen Robinson and Bilal Nichols as any kind of shot at Allen Robinson or Bilal Nichols. I think it's just, it's an interesting other, you know, feeling and vibe to the team. It's not to say like, oh, Grant is better and we should root for him more because he was nicer and more directly praising the Chicago Bears than say like Robinson and Nichols, who said nothing about the Bears specifically, we should again clarify, but just talked about their new team. And we are the ones who apply the contrast to that. But I just think it's really interesting to hear Jakeem Grant, you know, talk about Devin Hester and filling those shoes and even talking about like, one of his goals would be to pass Devin Hester in terms of, you know, kickoff and punt return touchdowns. And, you know, he's got 4 career punt return touchdowns and 2 career kickoff touchdowns. So he's got a ways to go and he will turn 30 in October. So it's probably a little bit of an ambitious goal there. But of course, like you got to set the bar high and try and do it as great as you can there. But he also earlier in that interview talked about how it's cool to go to the Pro Bowl and feel that support, not only from Bears fans, but from fans across the NFL. And I think, you know, it stands out to that, you know, not everybody was just having such a terrible time in Chicago or whatever we might think other players were experiencing. Because for Grant, it just so happened to work out, not only as that special teams player who can catch a punt at the 3 against the Packers and take it 97 yards, but even, you know, getting in on offense. For all the criticism we had of Matt Nagy's offense, not putting Allen Robinson in the best position to be successful, not putting Justin Fields in the best position to be successful, not always putting David Montgomery in the best position to be successful. He did find a couple of ways to get the ball in Jakeem Grant's hands in a couple of those games and have him make big plays, even on the offensive side of the ball, something that, you know, he hasn't had a ton of overall production doing in his career. He's mostly been the return guy, but this was actually his career high this season in rushing attempts and rushing yards, and he had some decent production there with the Bears, not career highs, but a couple of big time plays there, really found a little role for him and helped him, you know, get that bigger contract and advance his career and perhaps play himself into an even larger role in Cleveland in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, I think it is good to hear from a player like Grant on that side of the experience spectrum that, yes, it wasn't all bad in Chicago, and it wasn't as though, you know, the new regime like just would have had no reason to be interested in him, but just perhaps more than Ryan Poles wants to pay for primarily a special teams return guy right now, given where this roster is compared to where the Browns are, that might want that return guy to push them just a little bit farther forward to get even that step closer to the Super Bowl or whatever their aspirations might be this season. While the Bears are in a better position, relatively speaking, to go with the young guys and the rotation there than the Browns that want something a little bit more proven there. We'll probably see Khalil Herbert handle the kickoff return duties this year, and perhaps Velus Jones getting in there, and Trestan Ebner as well. Those two, I imagine, will be involved in these punt return opportunities. Daz Newsome probably in that conversation too, but all rookies and second-year players seem to be the top options right now in those roles. Byron Pringle could be in that kickoff conversation. I mean, they're going to try everybody, I'm sure, but the Bears don't have that immediate need for a Jakeem Grant in the same way that the Browns do. And so it's nothing against him when the Bears kind of go their separate way, but just two different teams in two different directions. So just thought it'd be a fun way to kind of check in on a few former Bears and how they're feeling in some of their new spots, especially a couple of guys there that were particularly fan favorites, at least at some point, even if by the end, they weren't as fully fan favorites. We'll turn our attention back to these current Bears for the rest of the week here on the Locked On Bears podcast. So I hope you'll hit that subscribe button and keep up with all of our daily in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Thanks for making Locked On Bears your first listen today and hopefully every day. If you're looking for your second listen, our Locked On Sports Today podcast has all the biggest headlines across all of sports. It's available in some radio stations now across the country, in addition to video form and regular podcasts. It covers football, basketball, hockey, baseball, you know, the major sports. Locked On Sports Today, wherever you get your podcasts. Hope you'll keep coming back for more Locked On Bears. And I hope that as a result, that the Locked On Bears podcast makes it that much easier for you to bear down.